Broadcasting live from the Student Union Building on the campus of SUNY New Orleans. The Edge, WFNP, Rosendale. Edge News, bringing you state, national, world, and local news, traffic, sports, weather, entertainment, and much more. This is News on the Edge.
Good evening and welcome to Edge News for April 16th, 2024. It's time for a little less Tchaikovsky and a little more nonstop breaking news and smooth tunes from the hours of 7 to midnight here on 88.7. I'm Noe Jacobson and I'm with Cyrus Micah and Derek Cannenberg, coming to you live from the Student Union Building on SUNY New Paltz campus, topping tonight's national headlines. President Joe Biden's latest plan for student loan cancellation is moving forward as a proposed regulation, offering him a fresh chance to deliver on a campaign promise and energize young voters ahead of the November election. The Education Department on Tuesday filed paperwork for a new regulation that would deliver the cancellation that Biden announced last week. It still has to go through a 30-day public comment period and another review before it can be finalized. It's a more targeted proposal than the one the U.S. Supreme Court struck down last year. The new plan uses a different legal basis and seeks to cancel or reduce loans for more than 25 million Americans. Conservative opponents, who see it as an unfair burden for taxpayers who didn't attend college, have threatened to challenge it in court. The Democratic president highlighted the plan during a trip to Wisconsin last week, saying it would provide, quote, life-changing, unquote, relief. He laid out five categories of people who would be eligible for help. Two coalitions of Republican states have sued the Biden administration to block a separate repayment plan that offers an accelerated path to loan forgiveness. The White House says it's confident the new plan is on solid legal ground, saying the Higher Education Act gives the Education Secretary the power to waive student loans in certain cases.
Sam Lee, head of the Connecticut Library Association, heads to work these days torn between hope and fear. She's encouraged because legislators in her state proposed a bill this year making it harder for school boards to ban library books. But she's fearful because Connecticut, like America, is seeing a sustained surge in book challenges, and she wonders if objectors will see the legislation as a reason to file more complaints. Quote, I would like to be optimistic, end quote, Lee said. Quote, but having been in my position for the last few years, I don't know. It really feels like it's been forever, and I am worried the book banners are just going to be emboldened. The bill in Connecticut, pending before an education committee, is one of a raft of measures advancing nationwide that seek to do things like prohibit book bans or forbid the harassment of school and public librarians. The first such wave in the country, said John Chikatsa, director of Library Advancement Group Every Library. Legislators in 22 mostly blue states have proposed 57 such bills so far this year, and two have become law, according to a Washington Post analysis of state legislative databases and an Every Library legislative tracker.
Have his valedictorian, who is Muslim and pro-Palestinian, speak at its commencement because officials worry about keeping the event safe amid fears of threats. USC Provost Andrew Guzman said that, quote, while this is disappointing, tradition must give way to safety, unquote, citing an obligation to minimize danger to the campus and community. To quote further, this decision has nothing to do with freedom of speech, he wrote in a statement announcing the decision. Quote, there is no free speech entitlement to speak at a commencement. The issue here is how best to maintain campus security and safety, period. Asna Tabassum, the student selected as valedictorian, and Muslim advocacy groups view it as a silencing of a student.
A California man who used a Molotov cocktail to firebomb a clinic providing abortion services was sentenced to 9 years in prison on Monday in the 2022 attack on the facility, which is operated by the Planned Parenthood Federation of America in Costa Mesa, California, federal authorities said. The man, Chance Brannon, 24, was an active duty member of the U.S. Marine Corps and was stationed at Camp Pendleton when he carried out the attack, the United States Attorney's Office for the Central District of California said in a statement. The federal authorities referred to him as a former Marine. U.S. District Judge Cormac J. Carney said Mr. Brannon, who was also ordered to pay $1,000 in restitution, quote, engaged in cruel and indefensible domestic terrorism, end quote.
U.S. space agency NASA confirmed that an object that crashed into a home in Florida early this month was part of the International Space Station. The metal object was jettisoned from the orbiting outpost in March 2021, NASA said on Monday after analyzing the sample at the Kennedy Space Center. The 1.6-pound metal object tore through two layers of ceiling after re-entering Earth's atmosphere. Homeowner Alejandro Otero said his son was nearly injured by the impact. NASA said the object was part of some 5,800 pounds of hardware that was dumped by the station after it had new lithium-ion batteries installed. The debris was determined to be part of a stanchion used to mount batteries on a cargo pallet.
State news headlines. A handful of protesters disrupted a speech by Mayor Eric Adams on Tuesday, storming a stage and accusing the mayor of caring more about the needs of the real estate lobby than the working class New Yorkers he often talks about. The demonstrators moved to within an arm's length of Mr. Adams and chanted, "How much money do you take from the rich?" unquote, before they were forcibly removed by police officers. The surreal encounter, which took place at 583 Park Avenue, a historic landmark building now used as an event space, stunned the business leaders who had gathered there for a power breakfast, held by the Association for a Better New York. Placed in the seat of every attendee was a one-page flyer with a picture of the mayor titled, "New York City's Accomplishments." Mr. Adams dismissed the protesters from a group called Planet Over Profit as a handful of dissenters simply making noise and trying to stop the city's progress. Still, the episode illustrated the tension the mayor was dealing with in attempting to hold together his coalition of working-class New Yorkers and business leaders as he heads into what is sure to be a hotly contested Democratic primary this year.
Unhappy with Mayor Adams' response to the migrant crisis, the City Council is forming its own team of advisors who will draw up a blueprint to help the city deal with its thousands of newcomers. The Council on Tuesday released a list of people and organizations that will comprise its new arrival strategy team, which include the former Manhattan Borough President Ruth Messenger, former Deputy Mayor Lillian Barrios-Pauli, and Plachica Anathrum, who served in the Mayor's Office of Management and Budget for many years. Some of the issues the team will focus on include shelter, housing, culture, language access, health, legal services, and labor. Organizations involved in the team include New York Immigration Coalition, African Communities Together, and the New Immigrant Community Empowerment.
The NYPD on Sunday announced it would deploy resources to houses of worship and, quote, sensitive locations, end quote, throughout the city following the Iranian missile attack in Israel over the weekend. According to a statement posted to social media, the NYPD is continuing to, quote, closely monitor recent events in Israel, but said there are no credible threats to secure in New York City. The NYPD did not clarify exactly which resources would be sent out or which houses of worship would receive additional security. Iranian authorities said Saturday's attack in Israel was a direct response to a deadly airstrike in the Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, 2 weeks ago.
Authorities said they were searching for vandals who uprooted nearly 300 freshly planted trees in a Queens park to make way for a DIY dirt bike track. The saplings and shrubs were planted across 5,000 square feet of Cassina Park in Flushing near a cycling velodrome. Parkgoers discovered the destruction, conservatively estimated to have resulted in the loss of $15,000 worth of trees earlier this month, officials said. Photos of the field show numerous holes of overturned soil next to bumpy paths that look to have been used by off-road bikes. City Parks Commissioner Sue Dinoche said hundreds of volunteers have worked on planting trees in the park over the last few years, and the Parks Department said in a statement that the incident had been reported to the NYPD.
And now, the Edge weather forecast. Tonight, expect a low of 39 with partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, expect a high of 62 with cloudy skies. We're going to head to a quick break. When we return, Cyrus will have top state headlines. Edge News Time, 7:08 p.m.
My pain into purpose is pretty much what I have done to start this foundation.
In August 2020, after the death of George Floyd, Bridget Floyd and other family members established the George Floyd Memorial Foundation in support of the Black community.
It's going to take more than just us as a foundation. It's going to take the community, the world, to make a change.
Fight for racial justice for the Black community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Samuel Dorsky Museum of Art sounds kind of intimidating, right? We were scared you would say that. We don't bite. I mean, at least not anymore. Located in that mysterious building across from the Student Union building, we're open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday. Bring your friends or family and help us grow our campus community, or just come and hang out. For more information about exhibits and events, visit www.newpaltz.edu/museum or find us on Instagram at Dorsky Museum. Or, you know, just walk in. This is your museum. Come as you are.
Let's see what's going on in our neck of the woods with today's local headlines and community calendar. In less than a month, New Paltz Town Supervisor Neil Beetz will be leaving the supervisor's office on Clearwater Road for a job that will be located at the DEC office on South Putt Corners Road. There are two groups that are deeply involved in getting that chair filled again, the four remaining members of the town council and the 19 members of the town's Democratic Committee. While these are separate processes, both the outgoing supervisor and the local Democratic chair hope that the same individual will be picked both times, rather than face multiple transitions in the town's top job. Council members will review applications as they are sent to assistant@townofnewpaltz.org and can schedule interviews of those candidates. According to Kitty Brown, one of those tasked with making that interim appointment, the job of supervisor is a busy one. In addition to overseeing twice monthly evening meetings, it falls to the supervisor to handle employee issues, negotiate and enforce labor contracts, meet with members of the public, and comply with a wide variety of regulatory and other deadlines necessary to the smooth operation of the town government.
The city's planning board tabled voting on a proposed drive-through coffee shop at the 380 Foxhole Avenue on Monday over concerns about traffic flow to and from the site. Much of the discussion surrounded how the business proprietors, brothers Ashton and Preston Zubla, plan to accommodate instances of cars stacking up at the drive-thru during busy times, potentially causing backups onto Foxhall Avenue. Quote, "We want to see more on the plan about how this may back up traffic," unquote, Planning Board Chair Sue Cahill said. The Planning Board voted unanimously to table a vote on the drive-thru plan by Autonomous Coffee until next month.
Many a constitution has been burned in human history, but very few towns have had the honor of being burned simply because they were a place the constitution was adopted. Kingston, New York earned that distinction when British troops burned it down in October 1777, following the passage of New York State's constitution there in April of that year. This Saturday, April 20th, the Senate House State Historic Site at the edge of Kingston Stockade at 296 Fair Street will mark the 247th anniversary of the adoption of the foundational document that has had such incendiary consequences. A few events will mark the occasion. The facility will be open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's an entry fee of $7 for adults, seniors for $5.
And now, on to campus news. Tomorrow, on Wednesday, April 17th, at 5:30 p.m. until 6:30 p.m., a virtual information session will be held to discuss the Master of Science program in Behavior Analysis and Interdisciplinary Autism Studies. Behavioral Analysis and Interdisciplinary Autism Studies is a 41-credit, licensure-qualifying program leading to a Master of Science degree. This program offers students education and training in the field of behavior analysis, the history of autism spectrum disorders, characteristics of autism, family systems, educational strategies, and interdisciplinary approaches to providing services and supports. More program details can be found on the SUNY New Paltz website and the Behavior Analysis Department website. The program meets the educational content requirements for a New York State licensed behavior analyst licensure, as well as the coursework requirements for a Behavior Analyst Certification Board certification as a board-certified behavior analyst. Join this information session to learn more about this incredible opportunity.
Let's zoom out a bit and see what's around the world. Tehran is tense, 2 days after Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel. Worried about war and its impact on Iran's already flailing economy, a significant portion of Iranians oppose what they see as the reckless adventurism of the country's elite Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, or the IRGC for short, which fired more than 300 drones and missiles on Saturday night. In a letter sent to BBC Persian, a long list of Iranian activists both inside the country and abroad criticized the IRGC's actions in saying, quote, "no to warmongering," unquote. Many Iranians also see the Iran-Israel confrontation now emerging from the shadows as being orchestrated by the Iranian government rather than the reflective will of the Iranian people. This perception is underscored by heavy police presence on the street of Tehran, ostensibly about enforcing strict Islamic dress codes requiring women to cover their hair, but which many suspect is mainly about crushing any possible protests. Many decision makers fear that if Iranian security forces and the IRGC's command centers are hit in a war with Israel and the U.S., this could reignite nationwide protests that erupted in 2022 after the death of a young woman in police custody. With the official inflation rate standing at just over 40% and tens of millions of people struggling with the cost of living, a military confrontation with Israel was the last thing most Iranians wanted.
Brussels police have told the BBC they will enforce an order to close down the National Conservatism Conference. Organizers say the event in the Belgian capital is continuing, but guests are no longer allowed to enter. Local authorities raise concerns over the safety of the public, saying the conference should not go ahead. The conference aims to bring together right-wing politicians across Europe, including Nigel Farage and Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Former UK Home Secretary Suella Braverman and far-right French politician Eric Zemmour were also listed as keynote speakers. Organized by a think tank called the Edmund Burke Foundation, the National Conservatism Conference is a global movement which espouses what it describes as traditional values, which it claims are being, quote, undermined and overthrown, end quote. It also opposes further European integration. The conference says it aims to bring people together, quote, public figures, journalists, scholars, and students, end quote, who understood the connection between conservatism and the idea of nationhood and national traditions. But in a message to organizers, the area's local mayor, Meir Kier, said that some of the attendees of Tuesday's conference hold anti-gay and anti-abortion views. Mr. Kier wrote on X, quote, the far right is not welcome, end quote. The National Conservatism Conference reportedly started around 6 o'clock GMT on Tuesday and carried on for 3 hours until police showed up and asked the organizers to make attendees leave.
At least 39 people have been killed in Pakistan after days of unusually heavy rains battered the country's southwest. Some of those killed were farmers struck by lightning while harvesting wheat, authorities said. Images online show swaths of farmland engulfed by rainwater. Flash floods have also disrupted power supplies and transportation networks. Pakistan has experienced an increase in extreme weather events as it grapples with the impacts of climate change. In 2022, a third of the country was completely submerged by unprecedented flooding, killing more than 1,700 people and injuring thousands. Millions were left homeless and lacked clean drinking water for months after. Some of the areas affected by the 2022 floods include Khyber Pakhtunkhwa and Balochistan are being impacted again by the recent storms.
Police in India have arrested two members of a criminal gang for a gun attack that targeted the home of Bollywood actor Salman Khan. Superstar, who appears in more than 100 films, have angered the notorious Bishnoi gang by killing two antelopes more than 20 years ago, police say. The gangs belong to a religious sect that considers the animal sacred. Mr. Khan is unharmed, but this is the latest in a series of threats the actor has received in recent years. Police in Mumbai said that two men approached on a motorbike early on Sunday morning and fired 5 rounds at Khan's apartment in the affluent Bandra neighborhood before fleeing. Vicky Gupta, 24 years old, and Sagar Kumar Palak, 21, were arrested near a temple in the Kutch district in Gujarat on Monday night.
The opposition in Togo has denounced a proposed new constitution as a power grab intended to extend the reign of President Faure Gnassingbé. The reforms would seek that the West African country move from a presidential to a parliamentary system, but the opposition says they are a ruse to keep Mr. Gnassingbé, already in his fourth term, in power. The president's supporters say the changes would reduce the powers of the head of state by transforming the presidency into a ceremonial role. Human Rights Minister Yawa Jongbodi Zegan says that they will, quote, improve democracy in the country, end quote. But the opposition says the reforms would allow him to remain president until 2031 and then be appointed to the new position of President of the Council of Ministers, in effect of Prime Minister, continuing his family's 57-year rule. That's all we have for today's world news. We're going to take another quick break before diving into today's top sports news. Edge News time is 7:18 p.m.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Bands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
You're just in time. Coach is making the call. It's time for the huddle, our spotlight on New Paltz Athletics. Saturday brought a highly anticipated matchup at North Turf Field as the State University of Newark at New Paltz, riding a perfect 12-0 record, faced a visiting Oswego State, with each team jostling for playoff positioning as the regular season winds down with 3 weeks left. The Lakers, 8-5 overall, 4-2 in the Sunyak, enter the matchup winning two of their last three following a disappointing loss to Brockport, but boasted the best player in the conference in reigning Sunyak Play of the Year, Selah Wiley. However, the Hawks flexed their prowess in conference themselves, showing their ascentation to the upper tier of the Sunyak Conference, fighting with the Lakers in a last-second battle, back-and-forth battle.
For the third consecutive season, State University of New York at New Paltz senior associate Pat Wing earned AVCA All-Region Honors. The American Volleyball Coaches Association, or the AVCA for short, announces Division III Men's Volleyball All-Region Selections Monday, honoring the top 14 players of Region 1, 2, and 3, and announced each respective region's player, newcomer, and Coach of the Year recipients. Wing was one of the only two right sides selected for Region 2, joining MIT graduate student Nick Gustafson. In total, 13 players from the UVC, including Wing, made the 2024 AVCA All-Region 2 list. Wing has been a staple in the Hawks lineup since entering the program in 2020, and had one of the best seasons in his final stint in Orange and Blue, despite missing the last three matches due to injury.
Colorado Rockies pitcher Kyle Freeland is, quote, fine, end quote, according to manager Bud Black, after a collision at a home plate with Philadelphia Phillies pitcher Jeff Hoffman. Freeland, a Rockies starting pitcher, appeared to have injured his right non-throwing shoulder as he was attempting to score as a pinch runner in the ninth inning during their 2-1 loss Monday night. Hoffman's pitch, with two outs, got by the catcher JT Realmuto, and Freeland, who had just entered the game as pinch runner, tried to score but put Colorado ahead. As Freeland slid home, Hoffman caught the ball and put the tag on while landing on top of Freeland, who was using his right arm to brace himself. Freeland immediately coiled back, holding his right shoulder in pain.
Let's see what's new in the entertainment world. The Library of Congress has released its annual list of 25 audio recordings earmarked for celebration and preservation as part of the National Recording Registry, and the musical artists selected for inclusion run the historical gamut from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to Ready to Die. Benny Goodman, Gene Autry, and Perry Como are among the mid-20th century icons making the list, which extends to 70s and 80s releases by ABBA, The Cars, Doug E. Fresh, and Blondie, and is rounded out on the latter end by such artists as Green Day, The Chicks, and The Notorious B.I.G. Although in some recent years the National Registry has dipped into the 21st century, the most recent released on the 2024 list is Wide Open Spaces, credited to The Chicks, although the trio was known as the Dixie Chicks at the time of release.
New Zealand's University of Canterbury has signed a 5-year exclusive agreement with the Aardman Academy, the training arm of the Aardman Animations, the British film and TV studio behind Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep. The agreement enables the Christchurch-based university to become the only educational institution in New Zealand to specialize in Aardman's unique version of stop-motion animation. It has the potential to upend the country's animation industry. The Aardman Academy was created at a time when the studio urgently needed more animators to produce Chicken Run. Released in 2000, the film went on to become one of the highest-grossing stop-motion films of all time. The Aardman Academy has since trained hundreds of world-class animators, directors, model makers, and other specialists.
Make sure that loan got approved, because we're heading to the theater. It's movie night. For decades, the attitude towards the documentary Let It Be in the Beatles camp seemed to be, let it rest in peace. But the film is finally going to be seen again. A restored version of the 1970 movie is coming soon to Disney+, same service that brought fans The Beatles Get Back, the 2021 Peter Jackson documentaries that used outtakes from director Michael Lindsay Hogg's original film. Documentary will re-premiere on Disney+, May 8th, certain to be a red-letter day for the Beatles fans who have spent most of their lives wondering if it would ever be let out of the vault again. It's been restored by Peter Jackson's Park Road post-production, using the same technology employed to make the vintage footage in The Beatles' Get Back look and sound as revitalized as it did.
Shazam stars Zachary Levi is set to headline rock-climbing action thriller Free Fall for XYZ Films, which acclaimed New Zealand stuntwoman and stunt coordinator Zoe Bell tapped to direct. The film, written by Sean Finnegan and Greg Maxwell Parker, tells the story of a father's attempt to reconcile with his estranged daughter on a rock climbing trip that turns deadly, as an accident leaves him stranded hundreds of feet in the air. Production is set to start later this year in New Zealand. Tom Hearn and Nuafio of Tivake are producing, with Navin McGlary and Eric Olson executive producing alongside Finnegan, Parker, and Levi. Free Fall marks the directorial feature debut for Bell, who began her career as a stunt coordinator on Xena Warrior Princess and would later enjoy a decades-long professional relationship with Quentin Tarantino.
Today is April 16th. If you're celebrating, happy birthday from the Edge News staff. Here are some folks who share your special day. Elizabeth Vigée Le Brun, born in 1755, was a French painter and one of the most successful women artists of her time, particularly noted for her portraits of women. Dusty Springfield, born in 1939, was a British vocalist who made her mark as a female hitmaker and icon during the 1960s beat boom that resulted in the British invasion. And Anya Taylor-Joy, born in 1996, a British Argentine-American actress who broke through with her lauded performance in the 2015 horror film The Witch and became an international star with a lead role in the Netflix period drama miniseries The Queen's Gambit.
That's about it from us, folks. But before we go, let's take a look back at today in history. In 1746, the English army defeated a Scottish force under Charles Edward Stuart at the Battle of Culloden, ending in the Jacobite effort to restore the Stuarts to England's throne. In 1838, French forces occupied Veracruz, Mexico during the Pastry War. The conflict began after a French pastry cook living near Mexico City claimed that Mexican army officers had damaged his restaurant. And in 1908, Natural Bridges National Monument was formally established in southeastern Utah.
And that'll be it from us for tonight. On the Edge News staff are directors Alyssa Roldan and Jack Flowers. Tonight's engineer has been Noe Jacobson. Sources for Edge News have been provided by The New York Times, The Gothamist, The Times Union, The Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and The New Paltz Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting-edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful night.
You made me so